First John chapter 3, if you would stand, would you find your place there? Verse number 1. Let's read three verses to you. Sit back down. First John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath the hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Brother Dale, would you help us up in prayer tonight? I had plans to get back to the Baptist distinctives I started a couple weeks ago, and didn't get to last Wednesday because the missionary was here, so I planned on coming back here tonight. The Lord didn't lead me that way. Let me back to 1 John again. And we all know tomorrow's Thanksgiving. If you didn't know, there's your reminder. Don't forget. I know, I understand this. It's an American holiday. It's not a biblical holiday. I understand that. But that doesn't change the fact that we ought to be thankful. And we shouldn't have to have a holiday to make us thankful, but there's nothing wrong with setting a day aside to give thanks. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with focusing on that tomorrow. Now, many are too focused on the food, and many are focused on the good deals they might get on Friday, and we as Americans, we miss the entire point of Thanksgiving most of the time. A lot of us do. It started out as the giving of thanks. It started there, some say the first, they didn't call it that, but some say the first Thanksgiving there at Plymouth, and organized by William Bradford, the first governor there, and it was just a celebration. It was a feast to thank God for their first successful harvest. That's all it was. It wasn't supposed to be a holiday, but they did it anyway. Every after harvest, they would give thanks. They have a feast, 3 days long, a celebration to give God thanks for what he had allowed them to harvest. 2 years later, they had a drought, didn't have anything, much of anything to harvest. They still gathered together, from what I've read anyway, still gathered together, and they fasted and prayed and still thanked God for what he had done. We've lost sight of that, have we not? I talked a good bit about this on Sunday morning. I realized that, but I feel like we need to be reminded a little bit more of how good God is to us. Those verses I read there in 1 John, the first three verses, chapter 3, are, in my opinion, some of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. Powerful meanings. They're verses you ought to devote them to memory. They're powerful. They will get you through some trials, some hard times, just remembering how good God is to us. And we don't deserve it. The Lord's talking to preach just a few minutes tonight on his thought, just the first phrase of that verse, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Just came through chapter number 2, and all of those tests that John mentions to the congregation there, he's giving them something to go off of, some guidelines to make sure they aren't being led astray by these antichrists that have come out from among them. He mentions them at the end of chapter 2. Then he steps into chapter number 3, and he immediately hits them with this powerful truth of the truth, the love that God has for us. We don't deserve an ounce of it, but he's constantly flooding us over with it. John is going to get more into some more hard things in this chapter. Hard things to swallow, things you might not want to hear. He's going to get into those again. But for these first three verses, he just steps back and says, don't forget about the love of God. Don't forget how good he is to us. Don't get your mind away from how powerful the love of God really is. We can't always preach on the love of God just as much as John doesn't always preach on the love of God. Let's not forget about it. It's not to be left alone, for it's a powerful love. Don't forget it. Don't overlook it. You can read about anything else in the Bible and then go back to these verses here and it probably shed some light on those other passages of the Bible. We've been studying there in Judges. We looked at the beginning of the life of Samson, how the nation is so far gone at this point, they didn't have anybody alive that God wanted to use as a judge. He had to use a barren woman to bear a son, and then he would grow up, and God would use him as a judge. And even he messed up many times. You look at that and say, well, why would God even try? And many times God wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, but through intercessory prayer, he did not. Behold, what manner of love. The Father loves his children. The children of Israel, God's chosen people, and he loved them in spite of them. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. It explains many things. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything he's done for us. Behold what manner of love he has bestowed upon us. We have a lot to be thankful for. Got an intruder in here? I saw a bunch of people swatting. What in the world? Number one, the love of God. Verse number one. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. John starts off with this word, behold. It's not a suggestion. That's an imperative. That's a command. He says, hey, look at this. Look, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Look at what manner of love. What are they looking at? Looking at the manner of love of Jesus Christ, of the God the Father. John says, hey, look at how God loves us. He doesn't just say it. He gave himself sacrificially for me and you. It's not just something he says. It's not just something you read. It's something he lived out and did for you. I don't care. I don't think anyone can say anybody else has ever done that for you. Your parents, your family may have spent their life for you. I don't know if anybody has had somebody lay down their life so you wouldn't have to. John says, look at the manner of his love. What manner of love is that? John 3:16. Everybody knows that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us, and then while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the manner of his love. God so loved the world that he died for us, that he sent his Son for us while we were yet sinners. He died for us knowing how wicked and perverse we were. He died for us knowing we didn't deserve any of it, knowing we would never earn it. He died for us anyway. What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. That agape, the self-sacrificial love the Father has bestowed. The Father willingly sent his only begotten Son, it says in John 3:16. This was his plan. It says God the Father loves. We talk about the love of Jesus Christ. Love of the Father also. No, they're three in one. Look at the love the Father had for us as well. It was his plan. All through the Old Testament, this was his plan. He didn't wake up one day and say, oh, they need a deliverer. This was his plan from the beginning. He knew he would need to come. His Son would need to come. He knew we would need a sacrifice to wash away our sins, a pure sacrifice through his spotless lamb, his only begotten Son. The entire Old Testament is pointing forward to that day. The law of the Old Testament, schoolmaster, to point us to Christ. It's the love of the Father that allowed us to, will allow us to be saved. Notice that next word. He says bestowed. If you enjoy grammar, I don't, but this is the perfect present tense, or present perfect tense. It means it was completed a long time ago and it still remains today. It's still present today. It happened back then, but it's still present today. He's bestowed his love long ago upon us, and it's complete and entire. It is perfect. We can never lose the love of God. We can never gain the love of God either. He loves us completely and totally unconditionally from the beginning. For God so loved the world. He doesn't love you more when you become saved. He loves you the same unconditionally. He bestowed his love upon us. You say, well, does he just love us, the church? No. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loves the world. He loved me when I was part of the world. He loved me. He died for me while I was yet sinner. Christ died for me. He loves the world. He loves me when I was part of the world. He loved me when I was still a sinner. I still am a sinner. He loved me before I was part of the family. Notice that next phrase, next part of the verse, that we should be called the sons of God. He loved us, and because he loved us the way he did, now we can be called the sons of God. We might say, who are the sons of God? John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those that received him, those that believe on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's not through our power, it's not through anything we can do. It's through believing that he is the very Son of God, that he paid the sacrifice for us. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Are you one of those sons of God today? The Bible says you can be. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. John 3:16 can love that. Self-sacrificial love. Because of the love, you can believe and be given power to become the sons of God. John says, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The world, the lost in our day and age, they don't understand. They're not going to understand. They will not understand your convictions. They will not understand your commitment or your faithfulness to God and the house of God. They will not understand why you give up your Sundays to come here when they're doing whatever they're doing. They will not understand it. The world knoweth us not, does not understand the love of God because it knew him not. If they don't know him, they won't understand you. That's what John's telling the church here. But if they can ever get a true glimpse of the manner the Father hath, the manner of love the Father hath, if they ever see it and they believe it, they understand. The love of God is a powerful love. It reaches deeper and it cleans deeper and changes more than any other kind of love ever could. Self-sacrificial love of the Father on us. We don't deserve it. We see the love of God. We see the sons of God, verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. He starts off with this beloved, meaning those that are loved. He just reminded him of what the manner of the love of the Father has bestowed upon us. Beloved, you are loved. Now are we the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? And we already talked about John 1:12. As many as received him, even to them that believe on his name, the sons of God. John here, after chapter number 2, he's pretty confident, even more than before maybe, confident he is talking to a group of believers now in the house of God. He says, now are we the sons of God. Talking about himself, talking about those he's writing a letter to. Church, if you're saved tonight, you're not just loved of God. You are, for God so loved the world, but it's more than that now. His love doesn't change, but you become part of the family. You are a son of God. He's for God so loved the world, but not everybody's a son. I love people. I love the people in this church. I do. I can honestly say that. But I only have one son. It's different. He's part of my family. I love people. I love you all. But he's my son. He's part of my family. The Lord loves, for God so loved the world. but he allows us to be sons. Let us be part of the family of God. If you're saved, you're not just one in the crowd. You are a son of God, man and woman. You're sons of God. Behold, what manner of love. We don't deserve a bit of it, church, but yet he continues on. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what all we're going to look like when we get over there. I don't know all the details, John says, but one thing I know for sure, we shall be like him. We are going to be conformed to the image of his son. God promised that in Romans 8:29. We're destined to be conformed to the image of his son. That means that when we're saved, he's promised a long time ago, decided a long time ago, that we would be conformed to the image of his son after we're saved. God knows everything. He knows that's going to happen. We have a choice to believe in Christ. But after that, God decided a long time ago, he predestined that those that did accept him would be conformed to the image of his son. There's no question we're going to be like him. That's what John's saying here. John says, I don't know what we're going to appear. I don't know what we're going to appear as. I don't know what we're going to look like. I don't know what we're going to be like, but I do know we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. No man can see the glory of God on this earth and live, the Bible says. Moses saw just the back of Jesus, back of God, and his face was glowing when he came down off the mountain. But one day, we're going to be conformed to his image so we can stand before him and see him in all his glory. See him face to face. And if that doesn't excite you, no, I don't know what will. We get to see the God of heaven, God the Father, face to face. If you're saved, you are a son of God. And God decided that those that are saved, they be conformed to the image of his son. And one day you're going to get to look him in the face in all his glory and see him as he is. No cloud, like in Israel's day, no burning bush. See him as he is. We get to be the sons of God. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Number one, the love of God. Number two, the sons of God. Number three, very simple, we see the hope in God. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That word purifieth, that's present tense. That means we're constantly being purified, constantly cleansed. Well, how does that happen? Through the hope in him. That's what John says, the hope of salvation. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Accept him, believe on him, you call on him. It says in Romans 10:13, that's what it's, you call on him, you shall be saved. The hope you have in him, through it, you are purified. That's what John says, you're constantly purified. As present, you're always purified, it doesn't go away. Do we still sin? Yes, of course we still sin. As Christians, our goal should be not to, but we still do. But the hope we have in him, verse number 3, it is through that that we are constantly purified. Present tense, we are purified. It says, even as he is pure. We're as pure as he is, John says. Every one of our sins is washed complete and total away like it never happened in the first place. We are washed, we are justified, we are glorified. Romans says, how does all this happen? Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We don't deserve a bit of it. We don't deserve to have our back broken in hell today. We do. That's what I deserve. That's what every one of us deserves. But he chose to love us anyway. He chose to send his son to die for us. If we just believe and accept the salvation he's offered to us, you can become the sons of God. We have a hope in God. We have a hope in him. You can have a hope in eternal life in him. You can be cleansed as pure as he is pure, John says, through the hope we have in him. If you can't find anything else to be thankful for in Thanksgiving, you can be thankful for that. Spend some time thanking him for him.